This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Wait, were you talking to me and I like didn't support you?
No, you always support me, but I started my song talking about, do you ever sit around and plan what you're going to say during this part?
No.
No?
And isn't that the magic of it?
I don't know if it is.
Oh. Welcome to the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel-Goyes. I'm Kevin.
I'm Alice.
And we are
the Maisel-Goyes.
Back at it again. This is the most episodes we've ever banked before putting out a season.
Is it true?
This will be the midway point. We have not put out an episode of season 3.
Wow.
We started recording them a month ago or so.
The fans are crying.
They are crying.
They're crying out.
Well, they're not crying. But they
know it's coming now that you've tweeted about it. So
again,
okay.
I'm surprised that anyone cared. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that people would like tag and stuff.
I'm not, because I'm on it. So
very flattered and very sweet. You're not surprised by anything.
I'm always surprised when people don't care about what things I do and say. I'm always like, ooh, what? That seems crazy because I'm the best.
But that's nice because you're operating from a position of optimism and I'm more talking from a place of cynicism or disappointment. But you've allowed yourself the capacity.
Or you're talking from a place of humility and I'm talking from a place of none of those.
None of those.
None of those humility
those
bites.
Six gun of those, brother run of those, buffalo soldier.
See, that was great.
Hey.
I like
speaking
that.
Of great, we got a freaking guest.
This is great. The whole thing has been great.
Friends and folks, she is a podcaster.
I say friends and foes.
Friends and foes.
I welcome you.
Friends and enemies. She's a podcaster herself. She's got her own show. Can I Pet Your Dog? Give it the hell up for Renee Colbert!
It's me!
She is.
Here, Kevin, let's talk about that Kermit the Frog impression that you sang along with.
I'm glad someone would acknowledge it in the room.
I use it because I think on this episode, to give a little foreshadowing, we've learned if you can throw a voice, if you can do a good impression, that'll get you a Broadway show. So I'm wondering,
I guess so, right?
With this Kermit voice of yours, who you think you could meet with in town?
Oh, gracious. Yeah, I think, I'm definitely getting Amy Pascal on the line. I'm definitely getting, who's the other guy from the Sony hack? He's producing, Scott Rudin.
So you're
I'm
saying you Scott. Call as Kermit?
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, hey, it's me. I have a vision.
I just want to shoot some, I just want to throw some stuff at the wall, blue sky.
Yeah, just some blue sky thinking. But what about, something about, a street white guy, and there's this, kind of wild woman that turns his life upside down in the form of a romance.
And you're the guy?
I'm the guy.
Okay, you're green. You're not white.
Great.
I'm the other guy.
That's right. So, man,
it's like Hitch.
And that's right.
Hitch, but with Kermit. Honestly, I'd watch it.
Yeah, a Hitch with Kermit.
You know what? At this point, I'd watch any original content.
Oh, wow.
Anything that's been written that isn't
But if it's Muppets, is it original content?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Because
if it's Hitch with Kermit in it, yes.
That's a reboot of Hitch!
But with Kermit.
No, but it's not exactly Hitch. I'm saying a Hitch-like show where he's wingman. I haven't seen any original content where it's for a really long time since Ted, I think, where it's just a Muppet or a guy whose friend is. I guess there's that.
And it could be called Lily Padden, and he's just going to different pads all around town.
Oh, here we go.
And then until he meets Lily. played by Lake Bell.
No, Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, okay. It's played by somebody good, and then Scarlett Johansson comes in, and she's like, of course I'm
doing
it.
Of course I will. And Lake Bell's like, come on, that was mine.
Yeah, where's she at? Where's Lake?
She's probably got
working on her voiceover.
Oh, no, she's on the show. She's on the show with that podcast guy on ABC.
What now?
Bless this mess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so she's doing okay.
Yeah,
right.
Wait, did somebody transition out of podcasts?
It's Dax Shepard's on that show with her. Oh, okay. But I like referring to him as the podcast guy.
The podcast guy. You know the one.
He's been doing it so long. Mm. Renee, thanks so much for joining us on
so,
the show today.
So thrilled to be here.
First time in the Maisel Gilmore extended universe.
Mm, what a treat.
Welcome. So, it's a warm, warm milk.
If you could, real quick, just rank the bun heads for us.
Happily.
Okay.
Yes. Of course.
Do you have a take?
I don't have a take. But bun heads came out at the time that I was still a musical theater goober. So when it starts Sutton Foster, I was like, I am in.
Yeah.
It's fine. All of it's fine. I've now, of the three, Gilmore Girls, Bunheads, and Mrs. May, like, they're all bad for me. Mm-hmm. None of them make me better in any way.
Why? Why is it bad
but
for
I
you?
But I enjoy it. Maisel specifically because it highlights my already pretty secure opinion that if you just charm your way through life, you can get ahead. And that's not, you got to work for it. You got to put in some effort.
Yeah. Right.
You got to work. You can't just be charming.
That's a good way of talking about midges, like the fallacy of midge.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that it's depressing for for people as a negative
example? I want them to do one episode, like a Lower Decks Star Trek style episode about the people around Midge who are like, there she goes. And then she leaves and they're like, God, that fucking bitch. Divorced and she's married to the guy again. Nobody had even a chance.
It's just fine.
Oh, we talked about in an earlier episode, something where just follow Susie. You don't track Midge at all. She's like a background character in the episode.
Except,
you just see her wheeling and dealing. Except what?
Then HBO would pick it up.
Sure. I'd watch that.
Or Showtime.
Hey, except that Amazon's the best place for original content.
A wonderful company.
Such as
we love them.
Great,
we love Daddy Jeff Bezos. The great stand-up special promotion. They know how to take care of their artists.
Well,
they know how
that.
To take care of
wouldn't go that far.
Do you like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I do.
Okay.
I genuinely do. The first episode of this third season, I was like, oh, fuck, I can't do it.
We had the same thing.
I can't. I'm not going to be able to do it. And I was upset and I was mad because in the, I think we all take TV as a, like, oh, this is my time. So I have my food that's bad for me. I order my pizza. I watch the show that's bad for me.
Oh,
so I'm just like angry eating my pizza. I'm just like, come on.
Like a classic Paladino brunette white lady.
Precisely. I'm the exact
one
they write about.
Food that was bad, but was really in shape.
Yeah.
And that's a personality.
They can be
Mars
a thing.
Bars. But then through friends, they were just like, stick with it. It'll be okay. So that made me come back to it. And I would imagine by like 3 or 4, I was like, okay, all right. And then by the end of it, I really liked the
it's
end of
good.
It.
It's good. Yeah. We're going to be doing, because you've only watched to this one, right?
Yes. Well, no, I actually did watch a little bit ahead. And so I had to recap this episode.
Of five? Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, I get confused.
There's some really nice, and I feel really bad about this, but there's some listeners that are like, when's it coming out? I'm waiting to watch it to do it with you guys.
Hey, I don't feel bad for them because there's so much TV.
Yeah.
They're fine.
I mean, they're fine. Yes, but like I just feel bad for preventing anyone from doing anything.
Well,
ever.
You got to understand that people make their choices.
Yeah.
You know, and if their choice is you and their choice is to be loyal to you, that's great.
Well, I don't know if
and
I put
think
it that
that
way.
You return that favor.
But isn't Marvelous Mrs. Maisel so much a show about choice? About the choices that people... would you say Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is pro-choice?
Yeah, I sure would.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Speaking of which...
Wait, after you guys watched one, and I know, just because I haven't heard this episode, because you haven't released it yet, what made you keep watching the podcast?
That we had to...
And Kevin watched all of it.
Okay.
I did watch, and if I hadn't, I would have been like, I would have had a much more dour look of like, oh, this bullshit.
Yeah,
but
right.
Seeing the whole thing together,
yeah.
It was a more satisfying experience.
For sure.
This time around. So this episode in particular, though, is called
Hands.
Hands.
And the
Hands.
Amazon Prime synopsis is Joel visits Midge in Vegas, Rose and Abe struggle as they adjust to their new life, and Susie scores a big win for her new client. And now we kick it off with a segment we do every episode for tradition's sake.
I'm going to vape for it.
Are you really?
Yeah, that's my new thing.
Okay.
That I'm going to do during your segment.
Time it out so you do it like on the beat, though. Okay, here we go. It's a segment called
12 o'clock rock, we're gonna pop around.
She's a man struggling to keep his head above
Seinfeld-y,
the water.
The way it really he says is. The culture.
Culture.
What is with the culture?
17-year-old girlfriend. So this
got
is
hands.
Every. She has hands. So this is every pop culture reference in the episode. This is 304 Hands.
Bobby Darin.
Carol Burnett. She slayed him in Mattress.
Jack Benny.
Nope.
Bob Hope.
Charlie Chaplin.
One of you did some musical about the Donner Party.
How about an interview with Fidel?
Castro, my...
I look like the Bride of Frankenstein.
Hello, Bernie. What say we do the Rainmaker on the old Broadway?
Oh, you should hear my Judy Holliday. She knows Elia Kazan intimately.
I like Rosemary Clooney's version better.
Could you do a love scene with Roy Rogers' horse?
Peter O'Toole. Rex Harrison.
Charlie Chaplin.
Pillow talk. No, that's Doris Day. You think Doris Day is sexy?
She's wholesome sexy.
There it goes.
Yes.
Am I wholesome sexy?
Jay Fred boxes on.
How did Natalie Wood do it?
Oh my God, oh it's my Natalie Wood.
Goodness.
Way more Ooh. Than there usually are in these shows, right? Like just and a few more.
Do you think the episodes are better when there's more?
No.
Okay.
Well, not in this show. It always feels a little bit forced, right?
Very. Mm. Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, as opposed to the other ones.
What were the ones that stuck out to me? Oh, and that scene with the...
It'd be funny if Amy Sherman-Palladino died and there was like secret other scripts that she wrote that we could shoot.
Keep
like
going.
With Tupac.
No, keep going.
You know?
Wait, yeah. Tupac? Like B-sides?
Like B-sides, like unrecorded stuff. Like mm-hmm. she had like a whole unrecorded... maybe a series that they made that never made it to network.
Do you think... there's the Wyoming Project. That's a whole pilot that was shot and edited for the CW.
I think it's probably about horse girls.
It's literally about horse girls, I think, kind of.
That seems about right.
Okay, perfect.
But in the Wyoming Project, it was her first foray into the diversity that we see on display in Marvelous Maisel Season 3.
Yeah, it was
in the rainbow-colored Wyoming state. Beautiful.
That's the place
stuff.
You want to put it.
The Broadway producers, that's Peter Gross, one of the Sonic guys, who you may remember from the Sonic commercials.
And is interesting.
A prolific. No, just do it
he's
right
a, He's a Chicago improviser.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Very good. Very talented.
Yeah.
What's he doing in New York? How'd he get cast in that?
How'd he get to New York? He's on a plane? Are you kidding me?
He's working on President's Show and Colbert Report back in the day. He might be back on Colbert. I don't know. Cary Elwes as Gavin... Pallone? Wait, what's his name? Gavin...
The actor. The actor, yeah.
Gavin Deck? What the hell is his name?
Max?
Yeah.
Gavin Max? No, it's
Gavin
not
Gavin Max something?
Gavin Bacon. Gavin Hawk.
Gavin Bacon.
Hawk. There we go.
6 degrees of Gavin Bacon.
Mm. A friend of mine saw him the other day in Little Dom's.
Really?
Mr. Bacon, yeah.
How about
Can't go
that?
To Little Dom's anymore.
Was there more than I saw him? To the story or just
no it was okay. just I saw him
okay
can I do my impression of someone to whom Kevin Bacon is asking them a lot of tough questions?
We'd love nothing more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. More like the third degree of Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
Thank
nice.
You
nice.
Thank
and you said that to his face.
Yeah. Wow. No, I could. No, I'm just saying it's my impression of someone who would do such a thing. This episode, what's going on here?
What's going on?
I almost just want to put a moratorium on, like, I don't want to talk about the parents.
I know. Yeah. Every episode we say this.
It's
like,
getting...
anything. There's nothing. Like, Abe's hanging with the Beatniks, and they're, like, with the Maisels.
The Beatniks is so annoying.
Okay, and that's when you realize who wrote the episode, right? Is that when you realize?
No, I mean, I don't do that. As much as you do.
I do that.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty.
That's my thing.
Well, I don't know who wrote it, but we're going to say Daniel, right? He wrote that one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. To a connection to him.
I don't have a connection.
We go to Cuba, camp outside his door.
Or we connect to Che Guevara and Che gets us to Fidel.
How do you get to Che Guevara?
We go to Cuba, camp outside his door.
Che seems even less approachable.
It's too
sexier.
Yes, but I'm not sure how that gets us to Che
Guevara. I thought there was a listener in Paris
at first. We go to Che's friend Alberto Granado.
How do we get to Granado?
We go to Cuba, camp outside his door.
You know, Cuba.
But that thing. Are you you're acquainted with that thing at this point, right?
Okay, yeah.
But just like, well, if you just repeat it,
yeah.
Kinky boots.
Right.
She was in kinky boots.
Right.
It's just.
Do you think Daniel always wanted to write for Family Guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Likely.
Yes. I think he's pissed.
Yes.
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 Wait, is that what I
just love that tenor. That
you
yes.
Got?
Yes.
It's just the exasperated, of course. Yes. Well, and two, he boomeranged back there for a season or two when they were in like a fallow period with their stuff. So I think that's probably, he's being a good husband, right? Work and I'm sure he's paid better and gets a lot more.
Yeah.
He's nominated for Emmys and stuff now. So I'm like, he's fine.
Yeah. Certainly.
But what his heart or skill set might be best suited for, TBD. TBD.
Possibly
TBD.
Not this.
I want to play the opening stand-up scene, by the way.
I have a very specific note about this.
Oh, I can't imagine what it is. But I want to play it with the new rule that Anthony Trolley set out for us in episode 2 of this.
Oh, my God.
Think about it. Las Vegas is the true American melting pot, proving that losing money is the universal language. Now, I'm Jewish, I'm from New York, and perhaps exotic to some of you, so I also have to present for you a primer to the Jewish people. First of all, we are always ready to talk about food. I've seen you all eating dinner, I just want to ask what you're eating, if it's good, and tell you what you should have ordered. Waiting! This is big with us. What repressing your emotions is to watch, complaining is to change. But the key is, the complaint should never be about the important things. Only little things like, it's hot, this restaurant is so far, the line is so long. You know, things nobody can do anything about. Remember, you're not trying to fix anything, you're just trying to be heard.
Brilliant.
My God. It's so good.
We have to do it for all of them now.
It's so required. Good. New Saggy.
Yeah, new Saggy. Just like an old zhuzh on an old Saggy.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. So we didn't get to the part that I was going to note.
You want me to keep playing?
Yeah, a little bit further.
Guilt is big with us, and we use it wisely. And it's not for making yourself feel bad
it's
about
the part when she talks
did,
about Jewish parents. There it is.
Yeah, here you go.
Nice.
That one. Look at that. Incredible.
Yell at your sons for not eating enough. Yell at your daughters for eating too much.
Big laugh.
And there's a saying often.
I was listening to this stand-up set in particular because I was like, okay, I get so annoyed that it's like, it's literally her talking with laugh lines, like randomly.
Just a laugh track.
Yeah, it's like they literally have a monkey pressing a canned laughter button whenever. Mm-hmm. It's so dissonant.
But the monkey's in all pink with a big hat
on. And he loves the hat.
Yeah.
And he's smoking. Yeah. So, do you mean?
What I realized do.
Yes.
In.
So annoying.
When I was taking a shower before coming here, I realized. Sorry. No, I wasn't trying to paint a salacious. No, guys, come on. I'm wholesome, sexy, like Doris Day. Unless it's problematic.
This is a Doris Day sound that we're making. Otherwise, it would be like.
Is that just blurred lines?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always. Oh,
yeah,
no, yeah. I don't want to be blurred lines.
Yeah, so there you go. Stop taking showers.
Mitch doesn't do stand-up. She does ASCAP monologues.
Yes.
Like
without punchlines.
Right.
Still without punchlines. Yeah. Yes.
But because it's always like, it is like someone in the gaslight's like, yell out a word, taco.
Right.
Okay, well, I was having tacos today, actually. And blah, blah, blah. And then it's so
it's so funny. Yeah. Tacos, it reminds me of my dad. Like, but that's my gripe, and I just think it's, I get mad when there's easy fixes to what I think are legitimate problems that, like, dig at the core premise of the show.
So we see this is the second episode that Midge is doing a little residency in Vegas with Baldwin. What did you, Alice, as someone who hasn't watched ahead like me and Renee have, what did you make of her exchange with him when they were drag racing? When he was like, who's the guy? Or like, who are you seeing? He's like, well, I'll file that away for later. That little exchange that they had. What do you think is going to come of that?
I think nothing is going to come of it.
Oh.
That's what I would say. I would say, since I haven't watched ahead, I would say that is, I mean, it did get some suspicions because Joel accused her in the episode. And when Joel accuses someone of something, you know, that has to be validated because he's a man. but like, I didn't think it would come to anything. I felt like, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of will they, won't they's on this show. Like with Lenny Bruce, with, I guess she's went all the way with that doctor guy, but with Shazam. But,
oh, yeah, Dr. Shazam with these nuts. Yeah.
Shit.
What a bunch of gobbledygook.
I really didn't think much of it when I saw it.
Yeah.
I really, yeah.
Hmm.
So, okay, now I know to watch for it.
Okay.
It's going to be that way. Jesus Christ.
It's something I used to do on the old show where I'm like, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I'd tee-hee-hee about it. And some listeners at home would be like, tee-hee-hee-hee-hee. We know. We know it's going to happen.
Because it was on 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was on literally a decade ago at this point.
Yeah.
This happened
so long.
Last decade.
Whoo wee baby.
But
wait, what did you guys think of the Rebel Without a Cause scene? Like, just in general, the
it
whole
felt
thing.
More like USO stuff where I'm like, oh, yeah. You just wanted to do
you
this.
You just wanted to. Yes, exactly.
Because they didn't tell us anything about Susie other than, like, she seems to be betting a lot on stuff where she's like, I'll take you a 10 for this one. And
she's really into gambling.
Yeah, she's super. Yeah, she's like a Howard. What's Adam Sandler's character in Uncut Gems?
Oh, yeah.
Howard Zinn.
I don't.
This is this actually, this episode has been too much of me searching for names.
And me.
Okay, no more names.
No more names.
Fine. You know the guy.
We'll just say Uncut Sandler Gems and Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is how he wins. Someone do a meme of Susie saying, "This is how I win," like as was going around on Twitter.
I really don't think. Yeah, I don't think that was in there for any reason. It was just kind of cool, right? Yeah. Like Midge doing the thing. Oh, we gotta have Midge doing the thing,
right?
I just now I'm imagining every time they do anything like that, the writers are like, yeah, right.
Doesn't it feel like Jamie Sherman Palladino just has like a multi-million dollar dollhouse of like costumes? And she's like, well, then what if Midge went over here? And she's like, well, start the race. And just is like mashing things together.
Yeah.
With no like clear trajectory for like pace
and
or plot function.
I haven't seen Rebel Without a Cause. Forgive me. I'm so sorry. Does Natalie Wood run after them in the movie, that scene that she's mimicking?
No, I haven't seen it either. Have
you?
I
feel like she does. I feel like that's iconic.
Oh.
And I feel like Amy Sherman Palladino was watching it and then said to somebody, I mean, she would choke from the exhaust. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're going to put that in.
That's right.
We're going to put that in. That's we're going to make that a joke and people will laugh. Mm-hmm.
Or it's something she's been thinking about for years.
Right. Yeah. It's. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? I do want to see her little bedside notepad. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm going to definitely put that in a way that doesn't work at all.
How much does Midge hate her kids?
So much.
A, B, C, D, so great.
Unbelievable. 7:30. Believe it? I'm asleep till 7:30.
I'm asleep till 7:30.
7:30 is practically 8, which is basically lunchtime. The whole day.
This is what this scene felt like watching the episode.
Own film. You gotta respect people's choice.
Kind of singing off key with a bunch of people.
All right, I'll tell you, I think you're a genius. Now put your father on. A, B, C.
This scene's just in here to say she hates her kids.
Just doesn't care for him. Hates him pretty bad.
It seems like this kid is having like a mini like psychotic break because he's like in this room where his dad and his son are arguing. His dad and his granddad are arguing about just meaningless bullshit, and his whole life has got to be that. A kid growing up in an ASP world is just like constantly barraged with meaningless talk, and that would make your mind just break. And so he just starts saying his ABCs just to have his own
to like mental, ground himself.
Yeah, to ground. Yeah. It's like a tick, you know?
Well, I would love. Did you guys watch The Affair on Showtime?
No. Very another problematic amazing show. ASP show.
Remember when I made that very unfortunate joke about like, will ASP be the first person to like create an unsafe work environment, like female showrunner to do it on her TV show? Well, turns out she wasn't. The lady who did The Affair did. Very sad. That's why Ruth Wilson left, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the whole reason I brought up The Affair is because it flashes forward like 30 years in the future after like the original events of the show. And their kid is then played by an adult, Anna Paquin. And she's like doing her own thing in like a climate ravaged, like kind
oh,
of.
God.
Yeah, it's like a soap that turns into like a weird sci-fi thing.
Right.
What?
So, what if Maisel season 5
yes.
is just Ethan's therapy in like well, the 80s?
I was
guess.
Thinking, yeah. Like, I was thinking, like, what if this show just kept going, but like with Mad Men, they were like, well, I guess let's go forward in time.
Yeah.
And they just keep following. And then, you know, then they have to start wearing those ridiculous body 70s. Remember when Mad Men's like the costume people all left
right.
and like they didn't really get anybody to
oh yeah
them.
When they went on it strike like, that season
it really seemed like that
it looked like
it. All of a sudden everybody all those incredible meticulous costumes were gone and everybody was wearing the craziest like Squaresville vintage outfits.
But don't you think that's just a function of how fashion progressed at that time, or is that
not
possibly
the
case? Okay. I never watched Mad Men.
Kevin, you seem like someone who absolutely would have watched Mad Men.
Don't I?
How did that happen?
Yeah, with your skinny ties.
I got skinny ties.
Got them for days.
I got like three or four. Yeah. But
Kevin's, for the listeners, is only wearing skinny ties, nothing else. That's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But they're layered.
That's why we growled at you so much earlier.
Yeah. And there's, by the way, it's only three or four of them. So do what you will with the geography there. But I have started the first two seasons
listeners
twice.
Listeners are pulling over.
No, what happened?
I just fell
can't
off.
Do it?
I fell off. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know. And now it's like, will I ever watch it?
Nope.
Will it be lost in time? Because back then when it was on, it's like, oh yeah, there's like 12
you
good shows,
do it.
Maybe. And now add a few zeros.
It was a
number.
Big deal when it was out. But I now looking back on it, I'm like, I don't know.
And then Joel eventually comes to Vegas to see Midge. And again, this is like, they've like fully redeemed the Joel-Midge dynamic.
Yeah,
for this
whole
season.
Joel thing seemed crazy to me.
Yeah.
That he came out. Like, why? Why leave your job for 2 days? Like, I don't get it.
And especially because things are going good with Manny.
And he's building a club right now? Why is he leaving?
No, but I fully get that because it's like, it's an example of people tricking themselves into thinking they have a healthier relationship with their exes than they actually do. Mm-hmm. Where it is kind of... someone just raised their hand in the room, won't say who. But and then you do act in like irrational ways where if someone were to ask you like, hey, man, like... Isn't your club's gonna open in like 3 days? He's like, no, it's fine. Yeah, we're good.
It'll
be okay. We love each other. Yeah. We're like best buds.
Yeah,
it's
so
totally
you have
cool.
to like the. You, it's like you have to stay dedicated to the fallacy. Mm-hmm. You have to be so committed that you just go to Vegas.
That's another alternate title for this podcast is dedicated to the fallacy.
Yeah,
which is great. It's a great one.
With
it's
a
also
pH.
A curious thing that I'm having a hard time buying is that he is just completely 100% supportive of her. Now you're still jealous.
I know.
You know you're still jealous. So is it one of those things of like if you're with success, you are successful? Is that why he sent himself to Vegas? So he could be...
I've never heard this.
Oh.
And now I have to change my bios on my apps.
True.
JK,
wait,
not Adam.
So, but then when he was with success,
yes,
he wasn't, he didn't...
But she wasn't like success. She was just like a lady that went down to the guest. Like this is
like
she's
now that
touring,
she made it.
She's
but
opening.
Yes,
so she has like some cultural cachet in a way. Like he sees her picture before he goes in. Like next to Shia Baldwin, so
that's a
maybe
shitty read on
but we're
Joel.
Definitely clocking
but I remember
that.
When he first. Here's the thing. This is my one argument with that. The first time he saw her, he was upset and jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, he could recognize her talent.
Sure.
Like so, I think there was a for him a big conflict, and it was like, fuck, like this. It hurts me. It upsets me. It's my ex that I'm still in love with.
Right.
Doing this thing, talking about me, and making me feel a way, and I also wanted to do this. And now he does seem to have something he actually wants to do with his life, which should be fulfilling in that way. And he could always recognize that she was talented, and they seem to have gotten past that. So I can kind of see how it's easier for him to support her now. But
isn't it nice that the thing that he wants to do with his life is create a venue for her? Where it is like a support thing in a way. Where it's like he's running the thing and he's the boss of that place in theory. Yeah. But it's also
it's
like
a platform
for you can come and like do your show and
right.
do your thing.
I guess, it's not that he ever thought he could do the stand-up as well, but I think, I'm sure you've seen a lot of people just want to be around the fame and fortune without earning it. So it's...
yeah, for sure. But also, I also agree with you, like that even if he's like, he's found something that he's actually deeply into. Like, there would be old wounds there.
Sure.
Like, there would be old, like, stuff that would come up. Like, just like, it's not super easy. Yeah. So it's weird that he's 100%. He's like, she's the best.
Mm-hmm. She's great. She's
great.
She's great.
Good as it gets.
She's great.
So this afternoon, oh my God. That's my ex-husband. My ex-husband's here, right there at the table. He lives in New York. What? No, I invited him to come. It's fine.
Huge laugh.
That one was like, what?
When you see him at a poker table after the show, go all in.
He's loving it.
So Joel Maisel was born in a shtetl called Brooklyn.
Laugh for some reason?
Yeah, for that one too.
Shtetl? Is it because that's a funny word?
Funny. Somebody should word. They should specify it. Like somebody goes, shtetl! Like,
Stella.
That's why we're laughing at that.
Okay, we
haven't heard that word a lot.
Otherwise, we understand why you'd be confused because it wasn't funny.
So it is funny, too, to think about, and I guess like just the awards categorization bullshit of it all.
Right.
That Borstein is supporting actress. But it's like, especially in this season, it's just a co-lead,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's split. They've split the time that you follow her with all her antics with, like, the mob Vegas boss guy and everything Jane Lynch is doing in New York. And
yeah.
She's just, like, fully the
co-lead. Defending millionaires?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Millionaires Defense Fund in New York.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. She's running.
Yeah, God, I love her so much. I love it. I love the character. I also genuinely, just in life, in general, you'll meet somebody who's like got so much chutzpah and so much talent and so much drive, but they're not successful. And you're like, what? Something's going on with you. So I feel that way a little bit about Susie. I'm like, she's just instantly
the
world's.
Why'd you
point at me? Well, buddy, we'll talk about it.
Hey, what the heck?
She did not point at him.
She did. She said.
No, that was a general. That was a general.
It was completely over there.
I think you are wildly talented and wildly successful. I'm your number one fan. I wouldn't shut up about your podcast on my own podcast to the point where my co-host had to shut me up.
Oh, it's very kind. I know. I wasn't fishing.
Just your biggest fan. Your biggest, both of your biggest fans.
I flew back for this.
Yeah.
You know, because Kevin's a real powerhouse in the podcasting world.
Wait, you did not fly back for this.
No, but, you know.
Immediate.
But my point to that, though, is that when somebody's super good at something, there's like some sort of self-sabotaging thing that they have that we don't know about. So I like this reveal of just like, oh, we may have a bit of a gambling thing in episode that sort of showcases like, oh, okay, so that's been your demise of why you are living in this closet, that maybe something happened.
Yeah, it is weird because what she's doing, even if it is a little ramshackle and kind of amateur in some ways of like faking Hepburn to meet with the producers or even like not knowing Macbeth and blah 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 with Gavin Hack.
Yeah, Hawk. There you go. Like the bird.
Sorry, Freudian slip. Gavin Hack. He would not like that.
He wouldn't.
But like she's pretty adept and professional and competent at those things. So then it's like, well then whatever the thing is, where is it going to go?
Right.
If it's not going to be like within the actual work.
And well, so, or is, I mean, my read on the Susie arc is like, this is a person who in midlife has found their passion and has through like working with Midge, she just like has been trying to get her hook in it for a long time, and she got her hook in it with Midge, and it was kind of a it was just a lucky thing for both of them that they found each other. And I think I don't feel like Susie is going to have a downfall, because I feel like she just, like, she's been waiting so long for this moment, and now she's doing it. That's how I see her. And yeah, she's been living in a shack, but we also know from, like, what the guy who moved into her place, whatever that guy's name is.
Bootsy.
Bootsy's treatment. Like, that she just doesn't know how to, that part of her life is not, she doesn't make a home. She's not good at that. She puts all of her stuff in a grocery bag, into a suitcase. She's not good at that stuff, so she's not really good with money. That makes sense. That tracks for the gambling, but I think she is good at this thing.
Yes,
right. And so she hasn't gotten like any money from it, because she wasn't doing it before, because she kind of wasn't allowed. She didn't have an in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of see that being her. What are you typing?
A note.
Oh, just a note.
Excuse me.
A bit of a note.
Did you just call 911?
No. Hello, oh my God. Please. They've got me here.
She's leaned forward. When she leans forward, you said to call.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Oh, Squarespace, my Squarespace, how I love thee, how I've loved and used thee for 10 years now. Literally every website I've made on the internet, I've made using Squarespace. Websites off the internet, I don't use Squarespace because those websites don't exist, because how could it not be on the internet? But listen, for whatever you need your website to be, a cool idea, a new business, a new podcast perhaps, a new matchmaking service, a home goods store, whatever your idea is, you can make it happen with Squarespace. They got so many features like Squarespace AI. You can kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI. It generates instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You can sell content. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses if that's what you're into. And of course, you got analytics, so you can know who's coming from where, what the demographic is, and how best to super serve them. I've used Squarespace for so many needs, from stupid jokes for this very podcast to serious things like my own landing page, so I could get briefly verified on social media and then have that verification revoked. But it doesn't matter, I'm still happy with my splash page, and it wouldn't be half as nice looking without Squarespace. So right now, check out squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. But I think one of the reasons everyone on this show is bugging me, except for Susie, and then in this one, maybe it's a different breed of it, but like, Joel and Midge, is because the comedy or whatever the conflict is with so much of the periphery characters is contingent on lack of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so like the
totally.
Weissmans being like, oh, this is Jesus the worst Christ. Thing in the world to stay in this house because they like wake us up early, kind of.
Right. Though that's that's an understatement. They're ridiculous.
They're ridiculous.
The house is ridiculous.
But then like the Maisels are lack self-awareness of how to be good hosts. Mm-hmm. And then...
Right.
Freaking put that on your plate. It lacks self-awareness of how she's coming off so uppity and
right.
stuff.
Right.
And the only one that can kind of like see it is Susie. But then Joel and Midge are not self-aware about the old patterns and habits mm-hmm. and loops that they mm-hmm. get trapped in again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's earned in a way that doesn't feel so goofy and Family
yeah.
Guy
mm-hmm. yeah.
in the way that it does with everyone else on the show right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's what made this episode for me such a frustrating watch, because so much of it was just contingent on people having to like handle other people's bullshit and pretend
yeah,
that it was
right.
like,
yeah.
that it mattered
I
more.
Got frustrated with the Jane Lynch, what's her name? Hattie Bryce?
It's not Hattie.
What the fuck is her name?
Where are the names
yeah, where
going?
Are they? Where do we know? Something's in the room.
Sophie Lennon.
So
oh
there
my
we go.
Gosh.
Okay, we found it. We found
Sophie.
It, though. We got
you
it.
You usually get them right away is the
I
problem.
Know.
I know.
I know. Picky. So, I'm sorry.
Like, that's a really good
they've
curl.
They've really kneecapped, I think, Sophie Lennon in this new venture where, like... Before she was like this kind of like weird Wizard of Oz genius mm-hmm. who was like, I don't care about this, but it's what makes me money. And it was all weird.
You're right. They
up.
Broadened it. They broadened her.
And yeah. now they made her into just an idiot yeah. all the time, I mm-hmm. guess. And it's like, I don't know. I liked the other character. I liked the idea of Sophie Lennon being completely out of her comfort zone and freaking out. That's a cool thing to watch. But... I don't know. I didn't hate that much. I guess I kind of enjoyed the Sophie Lennon stuff because she is, I don't know. I thought it was some of it was genuinely funny. And also like she really wants to do this thing, and it's not like it makes sense that you know, when comedians go do act straight acting or other things, other venues that they're not used to, there's this like, wait, why is everything like this? This is weird. Like, wouldn't it be more efficient to just do everything? You have like that. There's like a wall you hit with like the way things are done in Hollywood versus the way things are done, you know, in a stand-up world. So I don't know. I sort of believe that, but like, yeah, she's pretty stupid.
Just like dumb. Not self-aware. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Stupid. Yeah. She wasn't this dumb in episodes prior. Yeah.
What do you guys? I feel like there's a lot of examples of comedic actors doing drama and it working out pretty well. What do you think is the worst example of that we've seen?
That's a really good question.
Because
oh
you
God.
Could say, oh, Jim Carrey in Spotless Mind, great. Sandler and Uncut Gems.
But here's the thing.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sandler and Uncut Gems, I guess. I don't think Sandler's that great of an actor. I think one of the my take on this in general is that
here we go.
we need a sound effect for here we go.
If you're in the car,
do you have like some kind of like sound effect for like
sure you do.
Like, here we go. Like whatever that would be, like a ramping up of bullshit. The bullshit meter.
I think I got something.
All right, I want to hear.
Okay. This is all great. Right. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I wanted you to play
bad
the laugh
takes,
track,
bad
but
takes.
I'll take that.
Where you gonna be? Where you gonna be when Alice says you?
bad takes.
So there's I've said this a lot. I really believe that dramatic acting is easier than comedic acting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
I truly believe it. I think stand-up and comedic
Alan
acting.
Alan Burstyn would disagree. But
I think stand-up is harder for. Like if you're a stand-up who has a persona such as a Nicole Byer, like you're acting in that place and you have to think so much about timing and energy and flow and moving with the premise of what you're saying, and commitment is such a huge part of stand-up. Commitment to what you're saying, and since it's live and it's done over and over again, there's something about like you really learn a lot about like how to stay committed to the viewpoint that you're in. Because every night that I'm performing a joke about where I'm mad at a guy for parking in my spot, like, I'm not mad every night about that.
Right.
But I have to be mad about it to a certain extent that the audience really believes. Mm-hmm. I have to get there. And so I really believe that, and I have to get there, and then it has to be funny on top of that. So it can't be, like, just, like, you know. There, I think that comedic acting is, like, dramatic acting plus another level of difficulty. And that's why I think so many stand-ups make the transition, or so many comedians make the transition to dramatic acting so easily, is because it's like, oh, you just took off a thing that I have to deal with now. I just do the other part, which
you
is
know
the
what?
Commitment.
I just thought of a bunch of examples of...
Of course you did. I was just,
yeah,
giving,
what
you, I was just giving you time.
Let's hear it. Yeah.
Well, we I don't want to be me. Well, it's fine.
No, it's okay.
You'll bleep it out.
It.
You
gonna,
know you're going to edit
oh,
this
yeah,
out.
Oh, yeah.
We're not releasing anything we've talked about so far.
No, I'll release at least 10 minutes
just
of this.
Just maybe a bleep.
15.
Maybe. Let's see.
Oh, I thought Aziz was not good.
No, certainly
in
not.
In Master of None.
Yeah, but he's not a good comedian.
I like it. I like it. We're saying how we feel, and I like it.
Hello.
It is so funny to...
Bad takes.
What you gonna be? What you gonna be when Alice says the?
The. That's good. Okay,
the,
great.
As in
the.
Two
it's gotta be
yeah.
the.
All
right. Okay, Aziz, number one. Number
Aziz
two.
Aziz is number one. Number two.
Ricky Gervais.
Oh, well, I haven't engaged with any of that, so I don't know.
I don't know if he's a bad actor.
It's too tough.
Actually,
I
Aziz
also
is
am curious about the reverse of what dramatic actors have tried comedy unsuccessfully.
I don't know. Everyone
You're
gives...
You have to bleep this long ass list.
Everyone gives dramatic actors, like hot people, a lollipop if they can halfway land
just
a joke.
Get sort of a
where it's
funny.
Like, actually,
yeah,
their SNL monologue was kind of...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what like that phenomenon is called. Because even I am susceptible. I'm like... Is Channing Tatum funny?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's tough.
But I like him.
Yep. It's tough.
I like him a whole lot.
Yep.
Well, they're not, I mean, essentially they're doing dramatic acting in a comedy space.
Mm-hmm.
Because people around them, a lot of those roles with Channing, it's like, it's people,
they're just like using
it's
it.
It's The
yeah.
Rock, or where people around Channing Tatum being ridiculous and Channing Tatum having to react, and that comes across as funny because he's playing the straight man. But it's all it is. It's just like, what would you do if this person came up to you and did this? And then he does what he would do, and then it's funny.
Right.
You know?
Because the whole game of his character in like the Jump Street movies is like, oh yeah, like a sweet ox of a man who like is a little slower than his counterpart.
Right.
And that's another, I guess all those comedy people like in like the Seth Rogen movies and stuff who have done dramatic acting are pretty good.
Yeah. Like, was I think James, Jonah Hill's good.
Jonah Hill's very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joel and Midge get drunk and get married. They get married
they
again.
Sure do. Mm.
A yeah. listener brought this up in one of the Q&As where it's like, what's well, just like, was this just like a nonsense obstacle for like Joel May stuff? Where it's like, oh, things seem to be going okay.
A nonsticle?
A nonsticle.
Oh. Hey. Yeah. Alice write it Wonderland. Down.
Somebody hire me.
Put it
We've
in there.
We've got shenanigans. That's when Daniel Palladino just put shenanigans in the script. We've got nonsticles, where yeah. it's just like the most artificial yeah. obstacles that don't really actually come
well,
in character.
Well, but it serves a dual purpose, though, because it's not just an obstacle for May. It's also a Joel Midge tie that mm-hmm. speaks to their connection that I think they're trying to play the viewers on.
Oh,
I think they're trying to constantly bang that drum.
Hey, you okay?
Like Joe Biden. Yeah. I just made me think of Joe Biden.
Do we suspect that it's personal between Amy and Daniel that maybe anytime they have a strife, they're just like, well, we'll just end up back together. So we might as well stay together. And so they prove, because I feel like they prove that quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Oh, in terms of
and
like.
Their own person. I just.
Wait, you think
the
they're
board.
Working out their stuff in the scripts?
Yeah. Sure. I think they're everything they ever make is working out their own stuff. I think every single thing that is in there is something that happened. They're like, oh, that's funny. We're going to put it in.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Feel
because
like
the
all
people
the
in these shows are nice sometimes.
Hilarious. Yeah, she's a real Amy Klobuchar.
Right.
Amy Klobuchar and Amy Sherman Palladino. Yeah, right. Imagine if they kissed. What would happen to
what
the universe?
What would happen? But yeah, I think they're ultimately going to put those two back together to prove that, oh, you're just the best way to get through marriage is to stay together, whether or not it's good for you.
I don't want it. We talked about that in the last episode. I think it's so antithetical to the premise of the show.
Agreed.
For them to be back together. I think
agree.
It won't happen.
Okay.
I think it doesn't happen. I think Luke and Lorelai was like a weird fan response thing. I think this is like more going to be the
like
story
they're correcting
they
the mistakes.
I think so, because it's like, because again, it really is a show about choices and like you cannot have it all. Mm-hmm. And ASP firmly believes that you
That's
can't
true.
Have it all.
Sure. That's true.
So I think she's going to make her make like hard, tough.
Yeah.
I think she'll probably end up with no one at the end of the show.
Mm. I think so.
It'll just be like the bright lights on the Carson show or
yeah.
whatever.
Mm.
Who are they going to get to play Carson,
well,
by the way?
And the fact is like she has.
Slattery.
Like she, yeah, it is a real. I think the other dual purpose then would be. That it would serve is that at the end of the day, I think if Midge really wanted Joel back, she could get him back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're kind of trying to say, is it like the choice that she's making is a real choice. She can't, like, he's going to get married to her in Vegas. And yeah, he's drunk. And yeah, it's a problem. And yeah, they'll fight. But like, really, at the end of the day, you get the feeling pretty much every time they interact that like if because she every episode, it seems like she's like, he's like, do you want to stay divorced or what? And then she's
yeah.
like, yeah, and then he's like, okay.
To the point you know? Where I'm like, I can't remember the score of like, wait, who wanted to be with who again?
Right, right.
And
right.
Like, how why are they not?
Well, it just seems like every time he's like, but you're sure, right? You don't yeah. want to stay with me?
Right.
Well, do you want to be with me anymore? And she always says no. And that's the reason they're not together. It's yeah. not because Joel's like, I can't do this anymore, right?
Right.
He just is always 1 foot in.
Hmm.
So.
Foot in. You know, you sound like
freaking
Tarantino, dude.
Excuse
do I?
Me.
Oh, yeah, 1 foot in.
Oh, you see?
Come
foot.
On.
He loves
what?
Feet.
He loves feet.
Wait, do you not know this?
No.
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, shit.
More than being
Are you serious?
A director, is most famously known for foot stuff.
You'll
That's
just...
why he asked for those pictures. God damn it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's super cuts you can watch on YouTube.
That dashboard scene in his most latest
Which
film.
One?
There's a lot of feet on the dashboard. Too many feet on the
Wait,
dashboard,
Wait, do you
want to
see a picture of
say.
Him sucking on
Not
toes?
At all.
No.
Okay.
Zero amount of me.
It's my background.
Yeah, I don't
it's
need
my
to
desktop.
See it. It's on your t-shirt. So
yeah, it's printing on one of the skinny times I'm wearing currently.
Yeah, don't violate the premise.
You a May fan? You like May on this
I
show,
love
Renee?
May. But here's the thing. Do I like her because she serves the show? I don't know. But just as far as a charming actress, oh, she's delightful.
Yeah.
Truly delightful.
Yeah, a real match.
Yeah.
I like her. And it feels different from a Shazam thing,
mm-hmm.
too. Because it is like, well, this could work. Like, I could see a show where it's like, oh, she's semi-recurring for the next 3 seasons or however many
right.
more
she
they
matches
do
with Joel, but she really does have her own really interesting thing going
mm-hmm.
on.
Yeah.
Like, something that, like, we, as the viewer at this point, I think deliberately still want to know what the fuck she's up to.
Yeah.
Right?
And she does have, like, this veneer of, I think a lot of early 20-somethings because she's in med school. And
well,
so
also,
she's like,
how Jewish is it that every other person that they ever have to date is a doctor or a med student? Very.
That is funny. Yeah. I didn't think about that. But also, like, someone who's, like, 22, 23 and is, like, actually smart and then, like, acts as if they're smart, but then also, like, I don't know, like, even in that Chinese restaurant scene when she joins them, like, you see a lot of softness and vulnerability, or even when they're, like, dancing together, like... It's pretty. I'm pretty all in on all that stuff and on a character.
Valentine's Day is on its way.
Yeah, here it
comes. I wouldn't mind.
Wait, how do you guys feel about May? We like her.
Pro.
Yeah. May Maisel.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. We're gonna be probably May
Maisel. Yeah, I like it. I like that there's a cultural difference that it seems like they're going to have to address at some point.
Yeah.
Like whether or not the Maisels are okay with it or not.
Oh yeah, I wonder. Maybe next season. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like they can't keep the parents out of their lives forever.
Could they make the parents guest stars on the show? Like honestly, like keep Shalhoub, keep him on retainer, keep paying his whatever his regular fee is for an Amazon Prime show.
Right.
Make Rose recurring.
Right.
Give Pollock and Shirley, whatever her name is, like two episodes of C's. That's all you need.
That's all we need. That's all we need. All. It's too many.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, like, it sucks.
It's so stressful. To all of those scenes are just like, so much screaming.
It's tedious.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Tedious is
and
what it is.
That's all that needs to be said about that. So we can talk about them waking up in bed the next morning and then fighting about being married again.
This is not good. This is paperwork and legal
this
stuff.
This is for you, Alex.
We just got divorced.
Oh, my God.
We get a discount.
It's embarrassing. People shouldn't know. Don't tell Imogen.
I won't.
Or Archie or anyone. It's not right. It's not good. I've got to...
What? Got a what?
I'm kind of seeing someone.
Oh.
A hot bod.
Yeah, she's not a very hot bod. I've been working out quite a bit.
Girl. I've got a headache.
Why did I go mute?
Well... Because you don't really need
the
words.
Girl.
Oh, come on, Alex.
She's the first thing that came to your mind.
She wasn't the first thing.
I won't tell her, if that's what you're worried about.
You don't know her.
I mean, if I see you with her, I won't tell her we got married, and I sure as hell won't tell her we slept together. Can she sharpen a pencil?
You're making this too big a thing, and yes, she can sharpen a pencil.
You know, you didn't have to come out. I didn't mean to pry you away. You could have said no.
Seriously, Midge?
I'm not upset.
We're divorced. And this thing I have, I can't even call it a relationship yet.
Yes, you said.
And I was not the first. You were the first.
The first what?
You were engaged. And I never gave you trouble.
I'm not engaged now.
No, because that would get in the way of entertaining yourself on the road.
I beg your pardon.
Midge, come on.
No, no. What are you talking about?
Shy Baldwin?
Oh, come on.
You call his name, he comes bounding up to you.
He's nice to everybody. Fans, friends, co-workers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Then what about this?
Where are you going? Joel.
Oh, I thought this joke kind of sucks.
Me too.
They're sure not yours.
They're Susie's.
All right.
She brings out some boxer shorts.
They're old.
What if he was like, they're Susie's? They're Susie's? Is she a man or not?
I just sniffed it. It doesn't smell like Susie. Trust
Susie?
Me, I know
so
what Susie smells like.
He just opens up the whole can. He's like, is it Susie's? What is going on with this character? What is her sexuality?
We need to know.
Are you sleeping with Susie? We need to know. Like, he just brings it out.
That would have been nice. That would have been a good way to unravel all
they
that.
They call it
is
out.
Is Susie gay?
He turns to the camera.
Let us know. What do you think?
Midge answers, and it cuts right before she says anything. Well, actually, she cut to the next scene.
That'll get you.
Like a Monty Python It's.
By
the way, RIP, whichever one just died.
No names.
No names? Wait, was it one of the Terrys?
They're all named Terry.
No, there's only two named Terry.
That's too many already.
Was it Jones? Was it TJ?
I don't give it.
TJ Maxx?
Surely.
Terry Jones Maxx?
Seems about right.
We all care about Monty Python.
We love Joel with the shirt off. Thing is,
we love it.
It's very...
reality in the 50s or 60s or whenever this is, it's like, guys didn't have bods like that.
No.
Back then.
Not even a little. And certainly not for him. He's sitting at a desk all day
long. No, he's sitting at a desk.
That's why I want to go in a freaking time machine.
This is the body of like a superior Superman Nazi hunter.
100%.
But even Superman didn't have that bod in the old movies.
He'd have no need for it.
Yeah. It sucks for men. I'm just saying. Like, the Hollywood standards of what you have to look like is ridiculous. Like, why does he have to be so cut up to be Joel Maisel? It's insane. He doesn't have to be, but like, he... actor, Michael Ziegler probably feels like he has to be, or he probably, you know, whatever, Michael Ziegler's choices are
his
choices.
An occasional listener of this podcast.
But I just feel like it's ridiculous how, because, like, women, like, I don't, like, I'm not attracted to only guys that, like, have, like, ridiculous physiques. Most women I know are not.
What a relief.
It's just not, it's just not what, like, I mean, we don't hate it, but we're also not, like, that's the only thing we will
agreed.
We
I
look
always
at.
Appreciate it and then think, my God, that's so much work.
Yeah.
Like, just you as a person is so much work.
Yeah,
that's
going
to be a lot of eggs.
I know
I don't
some
like
people
eggs.
Naturally look like that or are naturally more, have a more, like, generally athletic physique, but it just seems like every single guy in Hollywood has to look like that now.
But because I don't want to believe that, I want to believe that they were like, you can put a shirt on or not. And he's like, actually, I can just take my shirt off.
Yeah.
I want that to be his choice, that he chose as much. That
oh, I don't
it
care
isn't
about
required.
That.
Okay.
Oh, Ziggy?
I don't care about that at all.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of the double standards of, like, how Hollywood is built, like, I feel like...
Did you say ha-ha Hollywood?
Ha-ha Hollywood.
Which is what the comedy scene in Hollywood
is
called.
Hollywood. Like, yeah, making men take their shirts off more is fine. But I'm just saying, like, this physical standards do affect everyone.
I don't know what to say about bodies
not equally,
anymore, man.
Like, not equally.
It's impossible. There's just nothing to be said.
I don't like
it's all wrong.
True, and I'm not trying to say, like, in this PC culture of ours, but it's like I don't know how to, like, even talk about my own in a way that might not be a negative thing for someone else, because there's things like, well, don't emphasize, like, losing weight. I fully understand all that.
Right.
But then some people are like, well, don't, like, diet at all. Like, or don't even, like, cut things from your diet or anything like that.
Right.
Because then that's promoting a difficult thing. Then it's like, it's not even body positivity. That's out now, or that's kind of bad. Now it's body neutrality. It's changing. It's rapid.
I love when you have, like, the take like this, and you're like, no.
Yes, I'm right.
I saw it. I saw it on Instagram. It's happening. It's actually happening.
I saw it on Instagram. Yeah, so I don't know what to, I never know how to talk
well,
about
no,
this stuff.
I think the idea is that people's choices are their choices, right? Like, however.
Sure. I mean, yes, that I would love for that to be the idea, but I think it's the juxtaposition of, like, they're saying be vulnerable, but at the same time, if you're vulnerable saying, hey, I'm feeling insecure about my body, then you can't do that because now that's making me feel insecure about my body. And it's just this weird, like, well,
yeah, because then body positivity creates this weird standard for people to dislike themselves more, because if it's like, if you don't feel like I'm happy with the way I'm look, then body positivity is like a messaging that says, well, you're messed up if you don't feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't just, like, fully accept this, then that's like another different kind of standard to live up to. Or even, like, on Instagram, when I lost all that weight a couple years ago, I did a side-by-side pic and I'm like, should I delete it? Should I take it down? Do you know? I mean, it was like 2017.
Yeah. No.
And it's just, I don't know what to do with all this.
I don't know. I mean, it's social
if
media,
only
right?
There was
but
a
I think,
podcast.
Like, the social media is a conversation. Like, it's not about, like, I don't think these things are about, like, be having a right answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's about the dialogue and continuously, like everybody is weighing in because it's not a conversation that has the answer. It is, I don't know, there's, like, a moment where everyone is able to say how they feel about something and not everybody's going to agree about it, which is, I think, the correct thing.
If people could be as elegant as you are about it and as understand, no, but truly, like,
no,
you just said
that
of just, like,
me.
Everybody has
I say
an
that
opinion.
About you all the time.
Everybody has a thing. Like, that's the voice I want to represent this of just, like, hey, guys, we're all figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're all, but that's not how it's coming at you. It's the diet industry is like, you got to take care of your body.
Yeah.
It's a temple. You got, and, like, everybody's saying, if you don't do exactly what I do, then you are vehemently wrong and hurting other people. And that's the hardest part, I think, about it. It's just, like, not only are you bad, but you're creating chaos for
right.
others.
Right,
is
the
crazy.
Didacticism about some of the messaging. Because for some people, and because it is so sensitive and it is so personal, that it does become a sort of fundamentalism in the communication. And some people would fully affirm what you're saying, where it's like, yeah, everyone do what they want, and then some people would not.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Renee has a special perspective to this too, as someone who's done, like, personal training and stuff.
Just used to be a personal trainer for 5 years. So it definitely, I think my take is just like, so I saw everybody, all shapes, sizes, ages, and every single person hates their body, like crying, hates it. And it doesn't matter. And I think that's the part that we need to listen to is just like, it doesn't matter what you should or shouldn't do.
Yeah.
The part that we need to address is your worth.
Yeah.
Like you're worth so much more than this.
I might be, I don't know, on a different side. I don't like, I do personal training and I don't hate my body at all. And I like
yeah.
never have. And I definitely have gained, I've gained so much weight in the last few years since I started doing Olympic lifting.
Cool.
And like, it sucks for one reason, which is that I'm a fucking clothes, like I love clothes and I've bought I did the Marie Kondo thing, so I like have a specific set of clothes that I really love.
You sold
I've
crystals spent a lot for $90.
I spent a lot of time working on this closet, and now that it's all there, then I gained all this weight, all and right. now I like can't fit some of my shit, and right. I'm like, fuck, you know, I don't yeah. want to. Some of this shit is vintage; you can't find it. So right. I'm like, well, I don't have to rebuy my entire wardrobe now mm-hmm. that doesn't all look good on me. But like, that is the only reason. Otherwise, I'm like pretty happy and chill. But I post on social media about my lifting.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I work out at Equinox. So there is problematic.
Is this SponCon?
What?
Is this sponsored content for Equinox?
No. Okay. No, there's very fair criticism leveled at Equinox, you know, because it's part of a corporate conglomerate that supports fascist regimes. And so people have said things to me and, you know, I still post it, but it's like, for me, that's like, that's the crux of what we're talking about. It's like, even I have made choices that have impacted people in a harmful way, but like there has to be a balance mm-hmm. for me about like, well, but my trainer who is really body positive and is great and I love is there and he's given me a lot of power and it's what I can afford and that's what I want to do with my time mm-hmm. and it's made my life better. So, you know, I know yeah. there's stuff in there to unpack, but I don't know, like I don't feel the heat. I don't feel a lot of the pressure of like the people. I mean, I maybe just had a good upbringing around this stuff because I don't feel a lot of the
yeah.
pressure of like, you know, I just see it and I clock it and I go like, ugh, it's a pain in the ass to deal with. But it mm-hmm. is just kind of like more time out of my day.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And I try to fight against it.
Oh. I want to play the scene where Susie finds out that Midge got married again.
Joel who?
Joel who? You know who? Joel.
Rick's husband is in New York.
He came out to visit.
Get out of here.
And we got married. And then we had sex.
You just got divorced. I was there. I saw it. The judge guy banged the gavel.
Don't think I'm happy about this.
You really couldn't hold it together for a few days, Miriam.
You're supposed to hold it together for me, but you weren't here.
Oh, now you're gonna blame me for you fucking your ex-husband and getting married?
Stop, stop. I know. It was stupid. It's not your fault. We got drunk. It happened.
Look, this is just another part of a manager's job. Quickie divorces for drunk clients. I assume you want a divorce.
Of course. Don't want to break up the happy couple.
Happy couple?
Nothing. Yeah, if you could help with this, that'd be good.
Hello, ladies.
Angie, hi. What's...
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about her pole running.
Oh, right, being right. Being terrified of the mob boss.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
That's kind of funny.
I especially like the, in his office, the furniture covered with plastic. That's a nice little take.
I didn't notice that. That's good.
I don't know. I think it's just the way she was sitting weird. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's probably so splattered with blood on the regular basis.
Oh, my God. So good.
It is funny, though, that she would be ignorant to, like, mafia ties and Vegas. Especially after, like, that season two thing where she was basically taken out by two gangsters to, like, the docks.
Yeah.
And everything, but
I guess because he's a legit businessman.
Yeah. I like this scene though because it's them like resolving the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard, but they're not actually mad at each other, mm-hmm, right. And like they're still
I like
pretty kind. And she made it a part of her duties immediately, where it's like, okay, yeah, I guess this is another part of being a freaking manager.
Which no, it's definitely not.
Certainly not.
Is what dealing with divorces and
Quickie
stuff.
Divorces?
Yeah.
No, you don't. Your manager doesn't get you a divorce. Mm-hmm. It's not. No, they don't do anything, apparently. But I...
Oh, my.
Shouts I like that she called her Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cute moment.
Doting. Should we go to the Twitter Q&A?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Tweet, tweet.
We got a whopping 2.
Oh, no. Will we get more once we start releasing?
Maybe. I don't know. Again, people watch this last decade, so I don't know how sharp
love
people
saying
are.
It.
Christina's the one that said, did anyone else agree that the whole Vegas marriage things felt like they weren't getting enough drama hits with Joel in May, so they had to throw something else out there? We talked about that. Mm-hmm. And then
did we? I don't know.
Observation. So. Yeah, you came up with such a good word for it.
Nonsticle.
Nonsticle.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then our old friend, Our old favorite, going back many years, Poop Doctor.
Oh, Poop Doctor!
Wrote it and said,
Poop Doc.
We think of women as a reflection of the men in their lives at this time, but do you think Joel, but what do you think Joel sees when he looks in the mirror? How did the string of romantic interests and flings define him?
Next.
And then Poop Doctor goes on to say, I think of him as a true nowhere man, the Waluigi of Mrs. Maisel.
A true nowhere
Waluigi.
Man.
I thought that was so funny.
Oh, Poop Doctor. Yeah, that's so men are the so women are the mirrors of the men they date.
Right.
And is Joel the mirror? They definitely haven't set it up that way, I don't think. Or they've tried to avoid that.
That which
Joel
part?
Being the mirror of the women in his life.
Yeah, but I guess Poop Doctor is just earnestly interrogating the idea that maybe he would be. So what is he like, what is the reflection of who Joel is that is reflected in May. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Why is Waluigi funny?
I don't know. He's an evil Luigi.
He's evil. Oh.
Evil Luigi.
And with Joel, with May, is evil Joel?
Like a nowhere man. I think Poop Doctor, again, if I'm reading the scholar of Twitter Q&A correctly.
Just getting really into the fecund.
the fecund medical person. I think what they're getting at is that, is it just like kind of aimlessness of like, oh, okay, this works. Like, does May actually represent X characteristic in Joel? Or is it just like, oh, you're around, or like there's a proximity thing? Mm. Is he just kind of drifting from thing to thing? Or
no, yeah, maybe not. Maybe she's...
It seems like, I mean, I love May, so I've got the bias of it, but it seems like genuine connection. It also seems like he wasn't in the market for it. It seems like I'm going to get my business together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get everything run. So I think, I think,
yeah. Yeah, or she feels part of the new world, you know?
Yes.
Like he's doing this thing and it's like he's very much entered another world, like an underground world. And then she's the princess of it.
Right.
And so she's the Princess Peach of that. But he went down a pipe.
Right.
Ooh, keep going.
And he ate he stepped on a mushroom and then she popped up.
Do you know what I think about who Joel's going to end up with?
What do you think about it?
It's going to be me.
Oh, no, Kevin.
What?
Kevin.
What?
No, you're fired.
No.
You can't fire me.
You
sit in the
car. You think about what you did.
No.
And then Elsa and I are going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
No,
invincible.
You can't. No.
Yeah, we're going to do this podcast with Rob Lowe taking over.
From the ground up.
Rob Lowe's coming in.
No,
the crazy thing
know.
Is Rob Lowe doesn't want, he doesn't even watch
He doesn't
want
to be here.
Did you say Rob Blow?
Rob Blow.
Blow.
Hey, how about a true crime podcast about that DNC sex tape from the 80s?
The DNC?
He had sex with an underage girl on a sex tape in the 80s.
Oh.
But why is it the DNC?
It was at the Democratic National Convention.
What? No.
Wait, I'm getting parts of this wrong. Hang on.
That's okay. Incredible.
I thought you were pulling up the sex tape. I was like, especially.
Yeah, and let's
this, for some reason, is why Hillary's bad.
Right.
Of course.
Watch my new documentary.
The Onion had a really good...
Once you're done with Pin 15.
The Onion had a really good article with just Hillary's picture, and the title of it was... I'm fun. It was so good.
That's great. I'm going to look it
the
up.
The 1988 DNC. That's where it happened. 24. He was 24 years old. And oh, my stars. Can't wait to listen to this.
Oh, my stars.
Podcast.
Oh, boy.
Good grief. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, now listen.
Could
are
she
you...
be any more underage? Or no? What's your thing? No, that's Chandler.
That's Chandler.
His thing is she is literally... under the age of 18. That's what he said.
Yeah,
that's
a
got
that's what the podcast is called. No anxiety here about A-lister colonization and your earphones, listeners.
Well, it's going to be
the white.
It's good.
Climate change Rising and A-lister tide. Colonization is the white man's grievance.
I know. I shouldn't say colonization. That's probably messed up. What should I say?
I'll get you anywhere.
Takeover.
Yeah,
I'll get you on anything you say. Well, takeover is problematic because of the...
Why? Because of the power dynamics inherent in the patriarchal system.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that'll also happen.
Oh, my gosh. Is this my least favorite episode of the season? I think it's my second least.
Second least.
I remember liking everything else after this.
Oh, no.
They go to Florida. I like the finale. It's all good. Mm-hmm. This is like a rough... Now I'm like, because last season was 10, this is 8. I'm like, maybe you only need 6.
Yeah.
I think that whenever the show is treating the parents like incidental garbage, it's not good.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to love next episode. I just remembered.
I actually did watch some of next episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. See, now basically what it... Oof.
Now I'm trying to remember my original... I think you're right. I think I also didn't love this episode, but then it got better after that. Yeah. I don't like any time they like jam, hey, we know theater into the episodes. Mm.
Oh, any like theater? Wait, do you think they're doing like a little...
Just the Macbeth thing.
It's appropriation.
I understand that you wanted to establish that Susie isn't a patron of the arts, but...
Yeah.
They did it in the most, like, snooty way possible.
Yeah. So if she's not a painter of the arts, why does she into this play? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
she also went to theater school, so I didn't get it.
Right?
Yeah. Susie? Strange.
Oh, sorry. I'm wrong.
No, no, no.
I thought you meant
the other one.
No, yeah, we're talking about Susie. All right.
But your point feels so small.
No, I'm sorry.
You made me feel so...
Don't touch me.
No, we hold hands now in this season, remember?
We hold hands in this season.
Two friends who love each other.
It's very sweet.
It was on my way out the
door. I said we hold fucking hands. Midge, give me a fucking hand. Oh, I can do Susie now, too.
Do it again.
Yeah. Midge, give me a fucking hand.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
that's real good. Wait, can you do a quick scene with Kermit and Susie?
Mm.
I feel like you could.
Tits up?
Don't say tits up to me. You can't say tits up to me. I'm only Midge says tits.
Okay, I'm going to go out there. So my life fell apart today.
Okay, flippers up.
Flips up.
Flips. Okay, all right. We can say that. Flips up. Jesus.
Oh, man.
I loved it. That was
Thank
great.
You.
That was fun for me.
I
Thank
know.
You.
I like how Kermit immediately left the scene and went out on stage so he wouldn't have to engage with Susie.
But still on stage, it's like, yeah, flips up.
You want me to manage you? I'll manage. All right, I'm going to work on it.
Susie manages
Kermit.
You want
me to manage you? Wait, do Midge again. Give us Midge.
I don't want to.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
But I really do want you to do her sets, if only as a personal favor to me at some
if
point.
If you want me to do the sets, I'll do the sets.
Wow.
It's hard. It takes a lot of energy. It's like it sucks energy
Jewish
from me.
Jewish mothers. Jewish parents. Am I right?
The marvelous Mrs. Bamford.
Jewish mothers. Oh, the Jewish mothers. So, here's the thing about Jewish
that's good. Mothers. That's better. That's better. That's better. That's better.
So, I really want you to eat. But then, if you're a girl, no, I don't want you to eat so much.
I am entertained.
Very
I
wonderful.
Loved it. So good.
What a nice
so
thing.
Good. That was real fun.
Maria, you gotta stop eating.
Okay. Brilliant.
What more could you want? I'm taken back to that Target commercial campaign of 2009.
Yep. It was a hit.
The one we all remember.
The one we all loved.
Oh, boy. Well, next one will be better.
Is that the name of the show?
Next one will be better.
This one, but it was a good episode
of this
podcast.
I need more Sterling K.
I do.
I need more Reg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
how do we suppose that happened? How did he just end up in Mrs.
Maisel? We all
Maisel?
Wonder.
Yeah, because it's like
he didn't need to do this.
We misunderstand the cachet of Maisel, or we misunderstand his career, and I'm not sure which one it is. Where it's like, did he go to his agent and said WME or whatever the heck? He's like, I have to do Mrs. Maisel. It's important to me. I got to do the show. And they're like, Sterling, you just did literally the highest grossing movie of all time. And you're on a hit NBC. Get me Maisel.
Like Maisel, please.
I can't
Thank
do
you.
Him.
I don't know. Because I think the thing is that one thing is since he's in a position where he can pick any project he wants, right?
Yeah.
So like that's, but like, I don't know. It might be refreshing to like play that character. I'm thinking of what Daniel Kaluuya just said. He just made a statement and like he's tired of talking about race. He said that in an interview, I think. Mm. And so people are all weighing in on whether or not he should have said that. But I think what he said and what he meant was that he, you know, is a actor in a time where we are making all these self-reflective movies about society and the white supremacist society that we live in. And like he's like, I'm also an actor and I just want to play a guy doing many different things. Right. But instead I have to constantly play the man confronting the supremacy or whatever, you know? And so he's like, I'd like to do something. So maybe Sterling K. Brown was like, look, I get to like walk around these high ass pants, you know? Like I kind of think
it might be more simple than we
for
think
me
it is.
As an
like,
actor,
I just want to be out of
like
comedy.
Like for
me, for me as an actor, that's what it, you know, because I never get offered I never get to audition. I very rarely get to audition for the parts I really want, which are like the action movie space, you know, laser gun thing.
Space Buddies 4.
So, like, if I'm that popular, people are going to go, like, what is she doing on, like, Criminal Minds? You know what I mean? Like, but I'm going to do it.
Of course.
Like, right.
This is a
titch
more prestige than Criminal Minds.
But I know what I'm saying. You know, like, there'll be a Netflix, like, detective series or whatever that I'll be, like, another person on, or, like, that I'm not the main character of, you know? And I'm like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something just like that. Like, he's like, I love music from this era so much. I love the whole scenery. I love the clothes. You know, like, I think this is a cool character.
I love the clothes of this era.
It could be those things. It doesn't seem like an unfun show to be on.
You're not quite there. You're almost
there. I've got the
pitch. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's kind of up here. And he is soft like this.
Try making every word you say the most important thing you've ever said.
Oh, my God. Shy is my boy.
It's better. It's getting closer.
Shy is my boy. I've always had his back. He's always had mine.
Shy is my boy.
Shy is my
boy. It's like
boy.
An analog.
Yeah.
It's like okay. You enter it in.
My boy.
You're sort of there.
Shy is my boy. I am Sterling K. Brown.
Well, on that non-problematic note, Renee, thanks so much for joining us on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I had the best time. I love you guys so much. Thank you for having me.
You were wonderful. Thank you for being here.
Listen to Can I Pet Your Dog, wherever you get your podcasts. I was on it. Had a great time.
You were great. We still hear about how much.
Oh, it's very nice. What a kind thing.
And I know you have cats, but if everyone wanted to come talk about dogs on a dog podcast, get in here. Okay. All right.
Go do it doggy style, as they say on the podcast.
I do say it. Kevin, we definitely don't say that. Certainly not something we say.
A baby doggy?
Wait, how wholesome is your audience?
So wholesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, we don't swear on it. Which
really?
Is tough.
Oh, that's nice, though. Yeah. I actually like that a lot.
Aww.
Sometimes
well,
I wish
then I'll
I had
say this
shows
here.
Like this.
I will be on your fucking dog
yes!
podcast.
Great.
Wait, do you not swear that much in real life?
No, I swear constantly. So it's tough. It was tough the first year, and now I'm just kind of used to it.
Because people listen with their kids.
The kids, but it's also just
and
a
their dogs.
It's type of adults who don't swear, I think. It's just that you think it's a podcast about dogs, but it's a podcast about happiness and people who need to just escape.
Oh, wow.
Every podcast is always about something else, actually.
Just
always.
Like TED Talks.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Is that true?
Like TED Talks, there'll be one about legumes, but it's really about, you know, the connections that we feel we've lost.
The connections. It's about the connections.
Wait,
we
now
fail.
I want to know, what is this podcast really about? I think it's about Mrs. Maisel.
I think
what's
it's
it
about
really about
my friendship with Kevin.
Oh,
yeah, I think it is too.
I love it.
I actually do think it's about
it.
Of course. We're not TV scholars. I'm no Emily Vanderwerth or Alan Sepinwall or a Matt Zoller Seitz.
You're a bit of a Sepinwald.
Yeah.
It's not walled.
Oh, Jesus.
You stupid.
I'm not.
Moron.
I'm not even.
That feels bad.
I'm not
like
even a TV
scholar. You didn't believe it as you were saying it.
Right, no, guys. It's about us. That's the reason I wanted to do it, because Alice is such a wonderful stand-up who I've loved and admired long before I met her.
Aw. Mm-hmm.
And then I get to do so on a regular basis, on mic and off.
I love this so much. You meet this guy, I challenge you to not absolutely fall in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's wow! What a kind thing to say.
Oh, but honest as well.
I don't trust you.
Follow Renee at Renee S. Culvert everywhere. Follow Alice at Alice Wetterlin.
Mm-hmm.
At Kevin T. Porter for me. Listen to our other podcasts: Can I Pet Your Dog, Treks in the City. For me, the Joe Rogan Experience. I've been guest hosting that for a couple weeks.
And that was a weird choice, but it's working.
I tried
really
to take
good.
It in a different direction, and the audience does not like it. So I need you guys to go over there and support me. And then we'll go out with the song in that jukebox May gave Joel.
This is so good.
Yeah, it rocked. Called Teeth Plucking and Catching Butterflies.
Well, all right.
Is the name of the song. Would you smash this song?
Fuck yeah.
All right, well, we gotta go. Okay. We'll see you next week.
Slaps.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.